The Colour of Infinity by Pauline Mazurelle. I love libraries because they're full of numbers and colour. Not a lot of people see the numbers because they get so caught up with the fact that books contain words. They don't notice how all those pages have numbers on too. And every single volume has a number on the spine, marking out where it should sit on the shelf. For me, these labels are like small stripy flags. Not to mention the fact that each publication has something called an ISBN on the inside. It's a really long number that's like a tiny kaleidoscope, with thin filaments of colour all jostled together and sparking off each other. Why's that? What's she bleating on about, you ask? Well, bear with me for a sec while I get my book checked out. Otherwise I'll miss my bus and then I'll have to walk home. And I don't suppose you're going to offer me a lift, are you? Apparently, I'm what they call a synesthete. But don't worry, it's not catching. Let me give you an example. This library's got brightly coloured seating. Well, that's a 2 and a 5. Another thing I love about this library is the way that the front doors glide open by themselves when you leave. Come on then, we turn left out of here. Keep up. My watch reckons that the time is red, white and blue, but not necessarily in that order. Just like the colours of Tesco across the road. Anyway, somehow or other, whenever I see any numeral, there's a unique associated colour, like a sort of code. Or maybe it's more of a translation. 0 is white, brown is 8. It gets kind of complicated when you have more than one number, because sometimes the colours start to merge in my mind, like with the lime green seats in the library. For years, I didn't even realise that this was synesthesia. At least, I didn't know what it was called. I found a book about it in the library one day. That was how I discovered it had a name. I hadn't realised before then that there were other people like me. But there are. It's just that none of us see colours and numbers linked in quite the same way. Hey, don't stop walking now. My bus is due in yellow minutes, you know. Now, to be honest, I'm not quite sure what the point of it all is. It just is. For example, when I walk past the King William IV pub right over there on the other side of the road, I automatically think 4th. That's 4, which is light blue. Then the red lion is a 3. And that, oh flippin' heck, that dark blue sort of indigo or navyish thing, pulling away from the bus stop in front of us, that's my number 7 bus. Okay then, plan B. Let's just keep walking. If we carry on along here, we'll cross over the side road to the corner of Page Park. If you get there before me, then wait for me at the gates, okay? Now, where was I? Figuratively speaking, I mean. Synesthesia. Some people have similar connections between letters and colours, or with musical notes. I'm not sure that anyone knows why, but for me, it's a constant companion in my life. Comforting, really. It brightens up the most ordinary scene. While you walk along, seeing just grey pavements and those slaty, rusty red stones of the buildings, I only have to count my own footfalls to see a rainbow on every ramble that I take. Not that I literally see colours, you understand. It's more a matter of perception. Think of it this way. I've got a friend called Jake. If someone says the name Jake, then I don't actually see my friend, but that's what the name means to me. He's the only living person I actually personally associate with that name. And when I think of him, that's the name that I use to encapsulate his Jake-ness. I suppose what I'm saying is that the name and the person are somehow twinned. That's how it is for numbers and colours with me. Speaking of twins, do you think the green man and the red man on traffic lights are related? I've often wondered. Here we are then, the gates of Page Park. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but they've got a date inscribed on them. 1931. The numbers coil together like four snakes interlinked, and they are venomously bright. A twist of orange, violet, red, and then orange again. Sometimes I like to go in there and sit on Major Jim's bench. That's the last one on the left. And listen to the sounds from the aviary above the noise of the traffic. Or on into the sensory garden, where the three bronze children stand back to back. But today, we'd better keep going. We'll cross over Broad Street and head down Tewell Hill. Here we go then, against the flow of heads making towards the shops. The bleached blondes, blue rinsed, straightened locks, headscarves and baseball caps. Their bodies clad in fleeces, puffer coats, thigh-high boots and jeggings, hi-vi jackets or fake snakeskin. Sporting walking frames, pushchairs and Summerfield bags. Down the hill, past Pebble Dash, brick and tile, UPVC, breeze block and wheelie bins. You know, I often wonder why it is that the people at A always want to get to B, and the ones at B seem to have an inexorable attraction that sends them shooting off towards A. I may be a woman who knows what colour 3 is, but I can't tell you why so many people seem so keen on moving from one place to another. When we get to the bridge at the bottom of the road, I like to stop and look down over the wonky railings and see all the cyclists whizzing past below, determinedly riding on two wheels rather than four. And there's a satisfying two-ness about all those fluorescent jackets they wear as well. And what's more, they always seem so very purposeful about their to-ing and fro-ing from one place to another. Just like everyone else. Anyway, speaking of destinations, after we've gone over the bridge, we turn left along Station Road. Sometimes I like to navigate along streets by the colours of the houses. Start by passing yellow, brown, violet. That's number 289 to you. And stop when you get to 257. So good they named it twice. Otherwise, yellow, green, indigo. And we head left, following that sign over there, down onto the old railway. This is where we double back on ourselves and follow the railway path back towards the bridge. There's that drainage channel on the left, which is just like a miniature canal, stuffed full of plants. Just perfect for a blackbird that fancies taking a bath. There are trees that grow straight out of the wall as though it weren't made of solid stone. About the only reminder of human habitation you get along here is that tatty spill of debris and garden waste down the slopes of the cutting above us. That's what people like to do, of course, when they're not going from A to B themselves. They seem to delight in moving objects between A, B and C and beyond. All that verdant greeny fiveness growing around me cheers me up if I'm feeling fed up about everyday things like missing my bus. The hart's tongue ferns, the ivy and the bramble and birdsong all around. Sometimes I've seen a wren along here just hop out of the undergrowth and hop back in again, hoping that I won't spot it. Often there's a stray gull gliding up above, or a pigeon in the trees creating a fuss. And there's no one here to see how it makes me smile. Well, no one apart from you, of course, and all those cyclists who fizz back and forth past us. And, frankly, this is where something more magical than coloured numbers happens. It surprises me every time I do this walk. I never cease to be bamboozled by the trick, because this is where the town completely disappears. 1 minute I'm in Staple Hill, and there are houses and cars, and the next moment I'm walking out into the countryside in the middle of nowhere. Up ahead is the old railway tunnel. The tunnel itself is pitch black, or at least it would be without the lights in the ceiling or the sunlight which spills in from either end. And I've never really known what number black is, you see. So already this tunnel confuses me. Black always phases me when there's too much of it. It's like all of the numbers at once, like some sort of overflow, like the moment that your calculator display goes E-E-E-E-E because you've given it a sum that is just too damn big to compute. Imagine adding together all the page numbers, ISBNs and Dewey Decimal Codes of every book in Staple Hill Library, and add in the totals from every library in the world, and you're not even close to infinity. That's how big a number the blackness of this approaching tunnel is, right? But that's where I'm going today. And the lights are on, so I just take my time until I get there. There's no turning off the path or away. It's about the most simple form of going from one place to another that you could wish for. Just making tracks. Once we get there, inside, leaving the sunlight behind us and setting out towards the bright arc of it again on the other side of the tunnel. Here it goes really still, cooler. There's dark moss growing down most of the walls, right up to the curved brick overhead. You don't notice it at first because it takes a while for your eyes to adjust. If you touch it, it feels like a sodden shag pile carpet. It seems odd to think of a plant growing down here with so little light. And you'd think it would be far too dry. But you can almost always hear the water dripping down through the roof, seeping through any crack it can find. And all along the walls, those white bricks hide the refuges. Presumably a place to stand away from the trains if you were a workman trapped down here when one came. So quiet down here now that the trains have left. Only the sound of the water and of our feet as we walk. In the middle of the tunnel, there's a light shaft just to the left of the path. Look up. See that grid framing the sky and the ferns growing up the walls. Ugh, yuck. A drop of water just fell in my eye. What's that sound. It's him, isn't it? At the far end of the tunnel. That bloke with a dog. Looks like he's got a football with him, and he's kicking it against the walls. And the ceiling. It echoes and booms all the way along the tunnel. There's something about it that makes me feel dizzy. Hang on, let's just stop for a moment, can we? There it goes again. It's spiralling round in my head, and I'm starting to count the number of times that it hits the tunnel. Each time I hear it thunder against the mossy brick, one of the lights up ahead falters and goes out. In place of the twentiness of the sodium yellow lighting, I'm starting, in slow, steady flashes, to experience all of the colours out of the darkness in turn. Here we go. Hold on tight. It's orange, yellow, red, blue, green, pink, indigo, brown, violet, pale orange, vivid orange, apricot, pomegranate, and everything is spooling. Here I am. Here I am. Bathed in all of the colours of darkness. Just stood here at the side of the tunnel. The light's fading out completely now. It seems as though even the daylight from the ends of the tunnel is going. And I've closed my eyes so that I don't have to watch the last of it recede. I have no idea whether you're still here beside me anymore. Have you closed your eyes too? If I reach my hands out to either side of me like wings, will I be able to touch you? Or the walls? Or anything, in fact? In my backpack is the book from the library. I can feel its spine digging into my back. In the book, it says that the station at the other end of this tunnel was closed in 1966. I get the obligatory psychedelic flashes of orange, violet, and brightest double pink in amongst all the other numbers circling in my head. I want to retreat into one of the bricked-up refuges, as though a train is about to hurtle past me along the missing track. But all I can do is count the numbers as more and more flood past me. In my head, I try to count all of the passengers on all of the trains, all of the cyclists on all of the bikes, all of the men and the women and children and dogs and footballs that have travelled through here since the railway closed. All of them heading from one place to another, and then probably back again, not simply stopping to be right here in the middle. And slowly, my head settles and calms in the darkness, and I can feel the edges of my mouth twitching back upwards again. Because finally, I know what number black is. And who we all are when the lights go out, wherever we came from, and wherever we are heading.